church say amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn them open to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, there is so much in those 12 short verses that are so remarkable. That the angel Gabriel would visit a small town, kind of in the middle of nowhere. That he would call that young girl by her name. And the message that he would give her would change the world. So, Father, give us faith this morning. The faith of that young girl. May it be done to us according to your word. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mary asked a simple question. How is this possible? Critics will say that the writers of Scripture, of course, were all pre-scientific, superstitious people. But in point of fact, those people understood life in so many ways better than we did, and better than we do. They're very familiar with death, and they're very familiar with birth. They understand how these things work. How is this possible? The young girl asked. And the answer is, Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. That is a theme throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, we find example after example of something that's impossible becoming reality. You have Abraham, who is called by God to be a father of a great nation, when he was basically just a homeless nomad with a wife and no kids. And later, much later, when he and Sarah are elderly beyond the time of her bearing children, they're told by God that she's going to have a son. And Isaac was that son. Here in the story that we just read, the angel points out to Mary, think about your cousin Elizabeth. In her old age, she who is called barren is in her 6 months. You see, the angel knew Elizabeth's name too. And Mary understood that a miracle had happened with her, the same kind of miracle that was happening in her own life. God was at work. You think back to all that took place in Egypt when Moses was pushing for the release of the children of Israel by Pharaoh. And then with Christ himself, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus, Peter walking on the water. Time and time again, Old Testament and New, we see that the impossible is reality. Three times himself, Jesus reminds us of God's power to make the impossible real. In the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, Jesus watches the rich young ruler walk away, unsaved. And he comments that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And that disturbed Peter and the disciples, and they cried out, well, then who can be saved? Because in their understanding, if you're rich, that's purely because God made you rich. They don't understand, and Jesus looks at them and says, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even a rich man like that young man can be saved. With God, all things are possible. In Mark chapter 9, a father brings his boy to Jesus. We would say that the boy had epilepsy. The father says he has a demon and throws himself on the ground and even into the fire. And he looks at Jesus and he says, if you can do anything, could you help? And you can also almost see Jesus pop back a little bit. If I can do anything, if I can do anything, he looks at the Father and says, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark 14, Jesus is crying out, Abba, Father, all things are possible. The angel comes to Mary. Mary, nothing will be impossible for God. Brothers and sisters, I believe we here in this church, in this place, and at this time are on the cusp of doing and seeing amazing things, great things, marvelous things. Some right now are praying about new things that God is doing in their own life. People right here in this room are praying about God's calling on their lives, about stepping outside of themselves and starting new ministries that were born in the heart of God and are calling people forward. new ministries that we have absolutely no money for, that we have no resources for, that are already showing fruit, that are already changing lives. What we do need is faith. For all things are possible to those who believe. That Christmas kind of faith where Mary says, "Be it done to me as God wills. Call me out to this particular task. Call me to this service. Be it done. Give me the power. And be it done to me as you wish. I am the bondservant of the Lord." We have no money. We have no resources. We only have faith, the kind of faith to believe that nothing, nothing will be impossible for God. Who do you think Mary was? Was she particularly special? No. She's no different than any of us. But she had some faith. And she was willing to challenge, how can this be? So she didn't have enormous amount of faith. And the angel had to give her an example. So often we kind of choke on the idea that God could use us that way. And we want to say, yes, we believe it. But so often we live our lives as if we don't believe it. We conduct our business like we don't believe it. And we live out our life, even within our churches, as if we don't believe that God is not limited by what we would say is impossible. That with God, there's the reality of the impossible. And so much of the time, when Jesus calls us to step out of the boat, we want to know first if that's going to work. We want to guarantee, Lord, that I'm not going to drown. So before we do that, Father, let's talk. Let's get our resources together. You want me to feed 5,000? Well, we got enough in the budget for 50. And they're not going to eat well. Maybe if you gave us a little more time to work on it, a little more at our disposal than a few fish and some bread. So often we pat ourselves on the back with miracles that we perform, but these are not miracles at all, simply the implementation of available resources. But there it is in Scripture. Time and time and time and time again, we are reminded that nothing is impossible with God. Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Zacharias, and Elizabeth, all through Scripture, we are told over again that nothing will be impossible with God. But yet, rather than putting our faith in God, we want to put our faith in a laboratory. Let us test it out, have peer review, make sure that it's all going to work first. We want to put our faith in the bottom line. Do we have enough resources financially to make this work? And it freezes us, it paralyzes us, it causes us to not have faith. We want to be sure we got all the bases covered before we step out of the boat. Out of the boat, Jesus? Sure, absolutely. I'll be right with you. Just let me get my swimmies on and life jacket. Flippers. One of the preachers I like is someone no one's ever heard of, really. His name's Charles Chaney. Heard Charles preach one time on Matthew 14, which has, of course, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. And his point was that as disciples, we are called to at least be willing to attempt the impossible, to at least be willing to fail. to at least be willing to step out of the boat and to trust him and see what may happen. We are told that night that of all of the 12 disciples, only Peter understood the true message of that day, that we should be at least faithful enough to attempt the impossible and trust Christ for the rest. 5,000 people, Jesus send them home. It's late, they're hungry. This place is so desolate. No, you feed them. You feed them. You give them something to eat. It was an impossible task. But what Jesus was asking them to do was at least attempt the impossible. And honestly, I don't think they attempted very well. 5,000 men and all the food they could find was one boy's Happy Meal? Really? And even with that half-hearted attempt, once Jesus took their effort, he took care of the rest. And later, after the 5,000 are fed, Jesus sends the disciples away. They're out there on the boats. In the middle of the night, a storm comes up. Jesus is walking on the water towards them. "Lord, if it's you," says Peter, "call me out and I will come to you." So Peter steps out of the boat that none of the others would even attempt. Peter was at least willing to attempt the impossible. And the good news of that story is that Jesus didn't let him drown. Of course, he only got in trouble. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Christ. He saw the wind and water around him. He got frightened because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And even then, Jesus wouldn't let him drown. He had enough faith to step out of the boat. And Mary? "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." She had enough faith. As an unmarried young girl, to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How terrifying does that have to be? But aren't you glad she did? Brothers and sisters, I believe to the depth of my bones that we are on the cusp of seeing amazing things happening, lives changing. Next week you're going to hear about disaster relief. More and more we're hearing about wonderful things going on amongst senior adults. New ministries are percolating up all around us. Where's the money going to come from? I don't know. Isn't that, you know, make you feel better? But I know the one who does know. He has the cattle of 1,000 hills. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's not important that I know. It's only important that we trust the one who does know. Lord, how are we going to feed 5,000? Just bring me what you got. Lord, how am I going to walk on water? Just get out of the boat. How am I going to bear a child? I'm a virgin. Just trust God. Do we have that kind of faith? It's not a lot. It's just that itty-bitty little mustard seed-sized faith. That's all it is. Peter, the one who got out of the boat, would later be so frightened by a little slave girl that he would deny 3 times he even knew Jesus. And Mary, Mary, who saw and experienced all that, would one day go with the family to bring Jesus home. It's just that mustard seed size faith. But it is a faith. It's the kind of faith we need. It's the kind of faith I need, that you need, we all need. For at this Christmas time, to believe that miracles can still happen with us, for us, and through us, and that God is still in the business of making the impossible a reality. Let's pray. Lord, the prophet asked, can dry bones live again? Absolutely, for nothing is impossible with you. How can a man who's selfish and self-centered and have his priorities all wrong be saved? Yes, for nothing is impossible with you. How can someone be healed when nothing else seems to heal them? Because nothing will be impossible with you. So, Father, let our prayer be like that man who brought his boy to Jesus. Lord, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. Give us faith enough to believe in the reality of the impossible. That we would see miracles happen here with this church, in this place, at this time. Not because we are great, but because you are great. So Father, be with us. Give us that mustard seed size faith. So that when we hear you call us to this ministry or that ministry, we'll have faith enough to get out of the boat. So that when you call us, as you called Mary, and we know that this is impossible, we'll still have faith enough to trust you and to be your bondservant and to be used by you for your glory. So that when you call us, we'll be willing to lay down everything for your glory. And to see miracles happen. To see this church change. See families change. Lives changed. For as Peter and the disciples saw the miracles around them, the 5,000 got fed, but Peter and the rest were changed. Lord, I don't know if we'll do any good outside these walls. But Lord, I believe if we go in faith, we'll change. That I do know. So, Father, be with us with that Christmas kind of faith that believes that a child can change the world. People talk about saving the world this way or saving the world that way. Christ has done everything there is to do to save the world already. We just need faith. So, Father, be with us. Give us that Christmas kind of faith, Mary's kind of faith, to see the reality of the impossible in our own lives. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. So, Father, if there's somebody here today that's ready to say yes to Jesus, Lord, let them come. Give them that tiny little bit of faith to know that whatever they're going through, their lives can be changed. Maybe there are others looking for a church home. Father, here is one that will welcome them, love them, and grow them in Christ. Let them come. Maybe there are others that need to come and pray. Christmas can be tough. We need to pray for our families, our co-workers, our neighbors, ourselves. And so, Father, be with us and bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jason and our musicians are going to lead us as we stand and as